Hey, good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. We are on Chof Hei Amud Beis by the two dots, right? Plop in the middle of the page. Chof Hei Amud Beis by the two dots, plop in the middle of the page. Unfortunately, some sad news to announce. I just heard this morning from Mel. He told me that, unfortunately, Myron, who himself needs a Refuah Shleima, has been a member of the Shia for several cycles. He should have a Refuah Shleima, but his son Avi, unfortunately, also Nebuchadnezzar just was given a very bad diagnosis, and we're learning the Refuah Shleima. We'll always learn the daf from now. Avram Chaim ben Yenta Falke. All those who need a Refuah Shleima should have one, but Mehera. Okay, so let's our learning Shem Yitzchak Hashem should really be a zuchus for him and everybody that needs a Refuah Shleima. So Chof Hei Amud Beis by the two dots. It's right next to the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon's, the start of the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. So continuing over here in terms of covering up excrement or urine, very important halachic discussions. V'lo yiskasa, lo b'mayim haroyim, v'lo b'mei ha-mishra. And then it said, Ashiyatil usochin mayim. You're not allowed to cover yourself up. We said a person could be in a mikvah or in a place where the waters are not foul smelling and they may be pristine and clear. So you have to kick up the bottom a little bit to make it a little bit muddy, a little bit not so clear, and then it's acceptable. But not if it's in a very foul-smelling pool, mayim royim, mayim sruchim, or waters of a flax pool, which are also very, very foul-smelling. But then it said, unless you put in a little bit of water into them, and then it's okay. Someone says, what? The kamamayi rami vazel. How much? It's a foul-smelling pool. You'd have to, you know, dump in gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of water and to reduce it from being foul-smelling to being a normal pool. That's not an answer. So you're right, Timur says that's not really what it meant. What the Mishnah was telling us is you're never allowed to go and immerse yourself in those types of pools of water that are so foul-smelling and say Shman there, because they're foul-smelling, so you can't do that. However, if urine is around you, all you have to do to make it acceptable to daven, even within Dalet Amos, so that urine is Ashiyato L'Sochon Mayim V'Kari. Until you put a little bit of water into that pile of urine, into that container or area where there's some urine on the floor, and then you can read Shema. So now we're going to question this a little bit. What does it mean, a little bit of urine? How does this exactly work? So Tana Rabban, we have a brice over here. Brice is from Nazir, and it tells us, Kamayata Lusochon Mayim. How much do you have to put into it in order for it to nullify its status as being urine? So the Tana Kama says, Koshu, any amount. So a person went to the bathroom, he urinated over there, and now you want to daven over there. So you just add a little bit of water, no shear, and then that nullifies it from being urine. Rav Zakkai disagrees. Rav Zakkai Omer, you must add a revius over here. Midarais, again, we said, it's only a kiluach, it's only when it comes out. So the Rabbanan over here said that if you add a revius, that nullifies it. So Rav Zakkai is more machmir. The Tana Kama said, a Koshu, any amount, and Rav Zakkai said it must be a revius that you're adding. Now we're going to qualify both of these opinions in two different ways. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman qualified and says, no, the machlokus over here between the Tanakam and Rav Zakkai is libisov. What does it mean, libisov? So Rashi says, shemei raglayim bikli. First, the mei raglayim are there. And now we're adding water to it. So the Tanakama in this situation says that you must add only a mashu. And Rav Zakkai says in that situation, you have to go and add a significant amount, a revius. That's if the urine was there first. Aval bitchila, if the water was there first, and then somebody urinates into that water, so then kol shehein. Everybody agrees that that would be enough with a kol shehein. What's the reasoning over here? So Rashi explains, because as each drop of urine goes in there, it's nullified by the already existing water. So if you have rishon, that's now going to fall in on top of the original water that's there. No, so every little bit of urine that goes in there is mavato. The next piece of urine that goes in there is mavato. The next piece of urine that goes in there is mavato. The original urine is not called urine. The original urine is not called water. Water, water, water. So each time the additional urine that's put in there is mavato. Even though there's more urine, if you look at it from a objective point of view, there's more urine there than there was water. That's not a problem. It's already been bottled. That's the first version of looking at this, that there's only a machlokas between them if the urine was there first. If the urine's not there first, everybody agrees it's a mashu. That's the first version over here of Nachman. Rav Yosef disagrees, says the other way around, exactly the opposite. Machlokis l'chatchila. There's a machlokis if you have it there l'chatchila, the water, and then you add urine to it. So the Tana Kama says, drop is mevatel. And along comes Rav Zakkai, says, no, you still need a revius over there in order for this to work, because otherwise the urine is going to overwhelm the original water that's there. Avol b'sov, but if the urine was there originally and now you're adding the water, everybody agrees, you must add a revius in order to, quote, nullify the urine. Rav Yosef said Lishame to his shamish over here. There must have been some urine over there, and he said Isli Rav Yosef. Demaya Kirav Zake. We pass it like Rav Zake over here. You got to go and give me a revius over here in order to nullify it. You also have to make sure that why isn't the water nullified drop? So you're pouring in the water all at once. Because otherwise, you'd have to consider if you just let a little bit of water drip in, so then urine would nullify the water. So the Mefarsh should bring down, you have to pour the water all in at once. If you pour the entire revius in at once, then it's not a problem. That's how this would work according to Rav Zake. I'm sorry? What?
We add chlorine.
So chlorine is for a mikveh. That has nothing to do over here with urine. That has to do with a mikveh. So we add chlorine to a mikveh, so that doesn't change the status of mikveh. It has nothing to do with urine. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Graf shel ri'i, the actual container, the what they call the flesh pot, the chamber pot, the different names for it, the container where you have the excrement in it. And the urinal, that they actually have the excrement in, the urine in it, so these containers are also to daven next to them, also liquids, kriyashma kinegdan, now let's say kriyashma next to them, afalpi shein b'hem klum, even though there's no excrement in it right this moment. You're not allowed to go and daven next to them because they have the status of being a disgusting thing that you're not allowed to daven within them. They like the tzoa, they like the urine themselves. And urine itself, you have to go and pour water into it, and then you can daven right next to it. You don't have to be marchik dalet amos, as we said. How much water do you have to put into it in order to be mevatel it? Again, this is the machlokas that we just had. The Tanakhama says kolshu, any amount over there is good. Like the first version, this would be the urine was there first, and then you add the water to it. The first version that we had, Rav Nachman's version said kolshu, and Razakum Merevius. Now, that's a reiteration in this brisa of what we had previously. Now we're focusing on new things in the brisa. Where is this urine over here? Bein mi lifnei amita, bein li achar amita. The Tanakhama says over here, it doesn't make a difference where the urine is, whether the bed is blocking it, so to say, the bed's not blocking it. You want to say shema, you can't do it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, it depends where the urine is in relation to yourself. Can the bed block it and be a mechitza, so to say? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, li achar amita, if it's behind you, so to say, the bed is an interposition between you and the urine, so then you're allowed to go and say kriyashma. Lift the amita, but if it's in front of you, so then eno kare, then you're not allowed to read kriyashma right there if you didn't add water to it. But what can you do? You just have to distance yourself from it four amos, and that is enough. The rabbi said, if you distance yourself from it four amos, so that is adequate over here. That's the opinion of Shimon Gamaliel. Rishimon ben Elazar Omer, he says, no, the house is considered one entity. The house meaning the room over here. Rishimon Elazar Omer, afilu bayis meyo ama. Even if this room, bayis really means a room, it doesn't mean the whole house. So if this room, where you're in the room with the urine, even if it's a large room, so he says, lo yikari ach yotziem, you're not allowed to go and read when the urine is in that room. Even if it's more than dalet amos for you, but if it's in the room, it's no good. Because his opinion, as we'll see, is that the room is considered dalet amos. We take advantage of this for those that don't keep nagel vasser underneath their bed or next to their bed, and we walk to the bathroom in the morning from your bed. So assuming your bathroom is more than four amos from your bed, how are you allowed to do that? You're not supposed to walk dalet amos without washing nagel vasser. So that's why some people keep a nagel vasser cups right next to the bed. So they wash nagel vasser literally as they get out of bed. They haven't moved dalet amos. For those that don't, they rely upon this, which is brought down la halacha, that your room is considered like dalet amos for certain dinim, and therefore you're walking to the bathroom. It's 10 feet, 20 feet to the bathroom, but at the same time, it's one cheder, it's one area, so it's like you haven't walked dalet amos. So we have applied this in other areas. But he applies it over here, luchomra, that the entire room is considered like dalet amos. Or alternatively, oshenicha tachzimit, or put it underneath the bed, so therefore the bed is a mechitz over it. We'll discuss this more in a moment as well. If they ask the following shalom based bed, yushibay luhu, hechi kamar, achar mito kore, miyad, did when we say over here that the bed, it can be an interposition over here. So we said if it's behind the bed, you can read right away. If it's in front of the bed, we said you have to move down the amos, like we seem to have explained it. Or Dilma, maybe not. Behind the bed, you still have to be down the amos away from it, the kore, and then you can read kriyashma. But if it's in front of you, you can't read it at all. So, which way do we really learn that? So, Toshma, again, we bring a Braisa. Now, this Braisa is going to be the exact opposite of what we just said in terms of the Shitos. So Toshma, it says in this Brisa, the Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Now, a moment ago, Rav Shimon ben Elazar said the whole room is like Dalet Amos, even if it's 100 Amos wide. So here, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Omer, Achar meet the Kor Miyad. He's the Momekal opinion. He says it's behind you to bez it into position, and you can meet right away, Kriyashma. Lifnei Amita, all you have to do is be Machik Arba Amos, even though the room is much bigger. Not a problem. As long as you're Dalet Amos away, even though it's in the same room, you're good. Again, going to be Kasher, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And then we have the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Afilu Bayis Me'ama, Lo Yikari Atchiyotziim. You're not allowed to read if it's in the same room with you. Or, Oshenichen Tachas Amita. Or, you put it under the bed, so it's in a separate Rishos. It's a Mechitza, so to say, the bed is a Mechitza around it, and you can read. So we answered our question. Bayon Yishitalon. We said, it's the way we said it. Behind the bed, you can read right away. In front of the bed, as long as you move away, Dalet Amos. But while we resolved our question, we have a stira between the two brises. Masdis and Kashina Adade. We have Rav Shimon Elazar saying a different thing, and Rav Gamliel saying a different thing. Rav Shimon ben Elazar saying the thing, and Rav Shimon Gamliel saying a different thing. They flipped opinions over here. Everything would be fine if we switched their appellations over here. So Gemara says, Epoch. Yeah, you're right. One of them is wrong. Which one is wrong? Epoch Basvaisa. The second one is wrong. Rav Shimon ben Elazar is the one that says over here that it's the whole room is Dalet Amos. So flip that one. Nur Gemara says, my chazes divikas b'sraisa, eva kamaisa. Why did you flip the second brisa? Why don't you flip the appellations in the first brisa? So Gemara says, man shamis leh diomar kule bayitz karba amos dami, whose opinion is well known throughout Shas as being that the house is like Dalet Amos, the room is like Dalet Amos, that's Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Therefore, it makes sense to flip the second brisa that it doesn't accord with what we know is Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, rather than flipping the first brisa, which was correct. Rashi here is one of the most critical Rashis I heard from my Rebbeim of all time. Says Rashi says over here, man shamis levichule, don't we know this din over here? And Rashi says, lo yadati heichon hi. I have no idea where this is from. And my Rebbeim always told me the greatness of Rashi. Rashi could have just said nothing over here. Rashi could have said, I don't really know the answer to this, and I'm going to shut up, and everybody's going to think I'm a genius. Rashi's not afraid to say, I don't know. And that's one of the greatest limuds that you can learn from Rashi over here. And also, as an aside, if you look in the Gilyan HaShas, okay, Rabbi Akiva Eger over here, he brings down in the Gilyan HaShas 25 places in the Gemara where you answer Rashi's questions. And the Gilyan HaShas did this before computer. And the Gilyan HaShas brings down all the places in the Gemara, every place that we have over here. This one, the longest Gilyan HaShas is over here. If you look in the Gilyan HaShas, on the first line, it goes all the way to the end. There's 7-8 lines in the Gilyan HaShas, just Mar Makomos, telling you, Rashi didn't say this, but I'll tell you where they are. So it tells you the greatness of Rashi, tells you the greatness of Rekiva Eger, the Gilyan HaShas, and then the Rashash is the cherry on the top of the cake over here. He says, Rav Akiva Eger missed one. And he adds one more that Rav Akiva Eger missed. They did this all without computers. They did this all mistama by heart. So again, we have to appreciate the greatness of all of these individuals. In any event, Amar Rav Yosef, by my name of Rav Huna, they asked from Rav Huna the following shayla. Mita pachas mishlosha. So if the bed is less than three, he says, pshitali, the chalavud domi. That we have a principle, we've had throughout Shas, we haven't had yet this cycle, but we have a principle that three tvachim is considered connected. Under three tvachim, halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is connected. We use this in sukkah, we use this in many other places, and use this in a bed. We use it in avil, rachman al salam, an avil sits on a low chair, he's supposed to sit on the floor. So he says, as long as the chair is less than three tvachim tall, that's like sitting on the floor, because there's principle of lavud. So therefore, if the bed that you put the urinal or whatever it is underneath the bed, and the bed, the mattress, is less than three tvachim off the floor, so we consider it halachically like it's closed, and that's for, it's a separate reshus, and it's not a problem. As long as it's not foul smelling, it's not a problem. So therefore, less than three tvachim, I know, is lovud, no problem. Shlosha, more than three tvachim, arba, chamisha, shisha, shiva, shmona, tisha, mahu. That was the question that he asked. What it would be the status if you put it under a bed? Is that a separate reshus or not a separate reshus if it's under the bed? Does the bed block it or not? Amalei, so he asked this question to Rav Yosef. Amalei, lo yidana, I don't know the answer. Again, a Natana Amor is not afraid to say, I don't know the answer. I always teach the doctors that the best thing you can do to tell patients is, I don't know. If you make up stuff, you know, and it's not right, you're doing a terrible thing for the patient. You don't know, say, I don't know. It's the best thing you can do. Asara, he says, vade lo mi boili. I don't have to answer for 10. 10 over here is definitely considered a different status over here. So therefore, as Rashi says, lo shalti menu dinira kiilu eino tachtel. There's nothing there. There's a ceiling over here. Do we say though the ceiling is separating it? No. The tent is nothing there. It's too high up. So therefore, I'm in the same status as the urine under the bed. So that's not a problem. Okay? It's not considered a hefsek over here in a bed. You don't consider a hefsek too high up. So the only question was between 3 and 10. That was his question. Because he says it's a good thing you didn't ask about the 10, because Rishu Sacharit say here, because that is considered a separate entity over here. So therefore, that's why it's a good thing that you didn't ask about it over here. Kol Asara, Rishu Sacharit say. Fine. Amar Rava, how do we pass it over here? Hilchasa. Pachos Mishlosha, Kilova Dami. Under 3. 3 and under, we know that that's lava, the principle of lava applies, and we consider it closed off, separate, it's blocked, it's interposition. Asara Rishus Achrisi, that's a separate Rishus over here. I'm in the same area as that. Mishlot, that's the way Rashi understands this over here. Lo shalti v'meno dinira kiilu eino tachtel. It's not like it's under there, because that bed is a separate Rishus. So underneath the bed is the same Rishus as me. Mishlosh had a sir from 3 to 10. Haim the boy made the Rav Yosef and Rav Huna. Below Parshat Leh. That's where Rav Yosef answered Rav Huna, and Rav Huna didn't give him an answer. Amarav, how do we pass it over here? Halachik Rav Shimon Elazar. We pass it over here like Rav Shimon Elazar, which is the whole area over there is Dalit Amos. The whole cheder is Dalit Amos. And V'chein Amar Bali, Amar Rav Yaakov. Bali was the name of a Talmud Chacham. Barad de Bas Shmuel. He said in the name of the daughter of Shmuel. Rav Yaakov was the son of the daughter of Mar Shmuel, of Shmuel that we had this previously. His daughter was assaulted by Iser Giura, and then she converted. He converted, and his conception was not Kedusha, and the lady was a Kedusha. We had this earlier. In any event, we had it there before Rav Mari, so it says on the side, the Rashi already explained this previously. Not everybody agrees with that. In any event, that's why it's called Bra, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, rather than by the son-in-law's name, which may have not been B'Kedusha. He also said, Halach Rav Shimon Elazar. We also pass over here like this sheet of Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Amar, ain't Halach Rav Shimon Elazar. No, we don't pass it like that. In any event, Machlok is over here from the Gemara, how we pass it. Rav Acha, Yatzik Le Lebrei, very interesting story over here. Rav Acha, Rachoy, he made a wedding, Yatzik Le Lebrei, Bei Rav Yitzchok, by Shmuel, by Marta. He made a shidduch with the daughter, his son, and the daughter of this great Talmud Chacham, Rav Yitzchok, by Shmuel, by Marta. Fine. They went into the chuppah, they had the chuppah, and now they're in the yichud room, right? According to some opinions, the yichud room is the chuppah. So therefore, you need eidim for the yichud room. So in any way, he went into the chuppah, and the chuppah there also was the place where they had beer rishona. It wasn't like we have on our weddings today. They went home, and that was the chuppah. So that's one opinion of what the chuppah is. He wasn't able to consummate the relationship with his wife. So, Ozal Basrei, so he went to tell his father, listen, I wasn't able to complete the act, what should I do? So the father went to check, Ozal Basrei, Liune, what's going on over there? Why couldn't he do this? He says, my son's a tzaddik. Something's preventing him from doing this act over there. So, Choz a Sefer Torah, Demancha, he saw a Sefer Torah was in the room. Somebody left the Sefer Torah over there in the Yichud room. So, Amalu, he told whoever it was over there, Ichu Hashtol Oasoi, if I hadn't come down and seen this, my son had tried to, or had in fact consummated the marriage, sakantan libri. It would be a terrible, terrible thing to go and have relations with the Sefer Torah in the room that's not properly covered up with the mechitza and an aron, etc. It's very, very, very dangerous. So it's a good thing I checked over here. The Shar Mitzvah and Halacha brings down a very interesting halacha. It's amazing how a great gedolim can see halachas from halachas. He says, you can see here from Mariah that on Pesach, you're not mechuyev to go check in places where you didn't introduce chametz. Right? That's the halacha. Because there's no chametz over there. So he asked the question, so why didn't he go check to see if there was a Sefer Torah in the Yichud room? He says, because it's not normal to put a Sefer Torah in the Yichud room. You're not mechuyev to go check to put a Sefer Torah in the Yichud room. Just like you have by chametz, you don't have to go check in rooms that you don't have chametz, so you don't have to check over here in a room that you're not expecting to have a Sefer Torah. So he brings down a very interesting idea, and he says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that he wasn't able to consummate the act? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim. He didn't want to do an aver, even though it wasn't something that he would have done b'mezit. He didn't even want to let him do an aver b'shogeg. He points out, normally we say this only by food. He says it over here as well. Okay. The Tanya. Son wasn't aware that there was a Sefer Torah in the room. The father checked out the room. What's going on? And he found the Sefer Torah there that wasn't properly in an aron, in a mechitza, that would be acceptable to have a Sefer Torah. The dinim for a Sefer Torah are much stricter than they are even for tefillin or for svarim and things like that. Okay. The Tanya. base by yishesh will save a Torah. A house has to save a Torah. Or tefillin. Again, house means the room. They didn't have seven bedroom houses, right? They had a one bedroom, dining room, living room, bathroom, house. They had a room. That was a cheder. Right? So also l'shamish was a mita. You're not allowed to have relations in that room unless ashi yotzim, either you take it out of the room where you have the relations, you put it someplace else safe, or she'nichem kli b'toch kli, or you put it in a double cover. This is for the sefer Torah is not enough to do this. This is for the tefillin. So you put the tefillin inside the tefillin zekel, and then you put it inside another bag, and that's good. Even to define this, he says, Amar Abaye, loshanu elo b'kli she'en kilyon. That's only if it's not the kli that's specifically made for the tefillin. That can only count once. You can't have, let's say, you put two tefillin bags. That wouldn't be fine. So, avo b'chli shu kilyon, afil wasar money kichad money dami. If it's specifically designated for that, and it's not something else, so then even if you have 10 of them, that would only count as one. It would still count as one, but it wouldn't count as 10. You need to have it in a double protection, a double kisui. And omarava, for example, glima, if you have over here a garment, akomatra, and you put it on top of an arga shosvarim, so then kikli b'toch kli dami, that would be acceptable. In other words, you have to have two covers over it for tefillin. And Yeshua Belevi says sefer Torah tzorich lasos lo mechitza. For a sefer Torah, you actually have to have it in a separate area. It must be behind a mechitza. It's not enough to just keep it covered up. You have the mantel and sefer Torah, and then you wrap a talis around it. That wouldn't be enough for a sefer Torah. Okay? You need to put it in a separate mechitza, and that mechitza has to be asara. It has to be a real separate, totally mechitza. It needs to have dalet tvachim, not just have the height of 10. It has to have dalet tvachim. It has to be a real separate mechitza. Mazutri kulevei Ravashi. When Mazutri once went to Ravashi, chadja leduchte lemar bar Ravashi, the monopoly of the Torah. He saw what happened. The guy had a sefer Torah. Yeah, the guy. He had a sefer Torah over there, and he made a mechitza of asara tvachim. So he says, "Amalei, come on. Who do you hold like? Did you require a mechitza, not just a double cover? Come on, Rav Shulman Levi." So Gemara says, "Wait a second. Ema dom Rav Shulman Levi, the last lay beis achrina. That Rav Shulman Levi said you're allowed to sleep in the room with a aron kodesh, let's say, a separate mechitza, a whole separate area in that room for your sefer Torah is when you have a one room house. But you, Baruch Hashem, Mar, hold this like Beis Achrina. You have another house. You're not allowed to keep it in the same room. So a person has a two bedroom house, so don't keep the sefer Torah. Sometimes you go away at a hotel and somebody's responsible for the sefer Torah. So don't keep it in your hotel room. Find another room to put it in if you can. No, if there's only one room that you have, so then you put it in the appropriate mechitza, it'll be acceptable. But that's a bidiyevet to keep the sefer Torah in the same room as you, under circumstances possible. So he told him, I'm late. I didn't know that. Thank you very much for teaching it to me. Now, kama yarchik benu min atzoa arba amos. How much do you have to go from the urine or from the tzoa in order to be able to daven? So you normally have to go dalet amos. So now we define this a little bit more. Amar rabba, amar rav schoru, amar rav huna, lo shanu el liachoruf. That's if the excrement, the urine, is behind you and you don't smell it. So then if you're dalet amos away from it, you're considered okay because you're not looking at it. But if it's in front of you, marchik melo enav. You have to not have it in your sight. It has to be far enough away if it's in front of you that you can't see it. And the same thing, this was for Shema, and he says the same thing is for Shmoneh Esrei. Same thing applies. What question is this? Is this true? Father, Rabbi, my papa, I'm Rabbi Chisda. You're allowed to go and stand right in front of the bathroom in Davi. You don't have to be marking Dalet Amos. The bathroom has excrement in it. How are you allowed to do this? So Gemara says, "How come I asking on the day Sakisa Shem Bot Tzoa?" Oh, we're talking about a bathroom that doesn't have any tzoa in it. So therefore, it's the tzoa that's the problem, not the bathroom. Gemara says, "Really? You're allowed to daven in front of a bathroom? Ini? Is that so?" One more Yosi Bar Chanina. Others will give us just Rav Yosi. In any event, not Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi Bar Chanina. So whoever it was, this man the Yom said, "Beis Akisa Yamru." That which you said you're allowed to daven in front of a Beis Akisa is that you're not allowed to dive in front of a Beis Akisa. A person shouldn't dive right in front of the bathroom, right? There's a problem when you go on the airplanes and everybody they try to make the mini in the back, whole separate discussion. Should you do that? They're diving right in front of a bathroom. That's also a problem. So the door has to be shut. When people open the door, go to the bathroom, you're not allowed to dive in if the door's open. So that's a separate problem. So he says, Beis Akisa, Shomu, Alpha Pisha, Embo Tsoa. You're not allowed to dive in front of the bathroom even if there's no excrement in it right now. Tosus brings out over here that their bathrooms in certain times were similar to our bathrooms. The whole question is, do our bathrooms have this halachic status? Because the tzoa is not there. It slides away. It's flushed away. Even in those days, they didn't have the running water, but they had it on some sort of a slide, so it wasn't directly underneath you. It removed the tzoa away from you. So that may have a different din. But in any event, He says, you're not allowed to daven in front of a bathroom, even if there's no tzoh in it. And in the bathhouse, even though there's nobody naked inside right now, it has the status of being a foul-smelling area, an improper place to daven. So what are you telling me? You davened in front of the bathroom because there was no tzoh inside of it. Even if there is no tzoh inside of it, now I daven right in front of it. So someone says, you're right. You know, we're talking about bechariti. It's construction. It's designated to be the bathroom. Hasmona milsi, hasmona la milsi, famous machlokes throughout Shas, Abayin Rava. So he says, this is designated. You look on the construction papers, on the blueprints, here's the bathroom. Right? But nobody's gone to the bathroom yet over here. So that's type of a bathroom, you can daven right in front of it. Hog mayaskino bechariti. Moore says, oh, my boy, little Ravina, his minu lebezakise mahu. Ravina asked this question, is hasmona milsi or not hasmona milsi? Is designation alone enough to make it into a bathroom? And he said, yei zimun or wein zimun. He asked, is this in fact able to be designated or not able to be designated in this situation? So Gemara says, you see clearly that it could be designated. And one opinion says it could be designated. Gemara says, no, Ravina was saying, he come by little Ravina, lemekim ole letzluye begave. Ravina was asking, can you daven inside this designated bathroom? That's the machlokas, hasmona milsi, hasmona lav milsi, abayin rabba. However, abo kinegdo, everybody agrees, even Abayu who says hasmona milsi, would agree that if it hasn't ever been used as a bathroom, you're allowed to daven right next to it outside. You don't have to be marking dollar abos. That's what we're talking about. You can daven right next to the bathroom. It's a bathroom that was designated as a bathroom, has never been used as a bathroom. Abu kinegdo lo, that's not a problem here. Amar Rava, Hani Bati Kisoy the Parsoy. That's what I mentioned, the bathhouses, the bathrooms of the Parsoy, which were made on a slant. The excrement would slide down after it left the person and would be shifted away by gravity, by the way the was constructed, that it wouldn't be within Dalet Amos of you. So it never really was within Dalet Amos. It didn't stay there on a permanent basis. So Apple got this made soa, even though it's soa, but it's not right over there, kistum domu, that's considered like closed off, and theoretically you could daven next to that. Wouldn't ever be recommended, but theoretically that type of a bathroom might not have the status halakhali of a bathroom, and the poskim will discuss, do our bathrooms today have such a status? A big discussion in the poskim. Next mishnah, last mishnah, and the third parak. Moving along, Baruch Hashem. Mishnah says, Zav Shirah Kari. We have this already. This entire little mishnah until the end of the parak is all review. So we have this in Daf Chaf Aleph. A Zav Shirah Keri. A person's already a Zav, and then we said, Takonis Ezra, he became a Keri. He had a discharge, relations with his wife, whatever it was. So he became now a Baal Keri on top of being a Zav. Now, if you do Tfilas Ezra for that, it won't do anything for the Zav. So the question was, do you have to do Tfilas Ezra for being a Baal Keri, even though you have a much stronger Tumah on top of you already? So the Mishnah says, Zav Shirah Keri, even though you're a Zav, and now you have Keri, or you're a Nida. A woman's already a nida. She had permissible relations with her husband before she became a nida. Okay? And now she's a nida, and shapal to shifla zera. Now the zera comes out of her. So she's already a nida. Or the other way around. Hamishamet says she had relations with her husband and was polet to shifla zera, but didn't get a chance yet to go to the mikvah, and she was a nida, and now she became a nida. So we'll see, this is critically important. The two examples over here of the nida are critically important. One is when she already had a mitzvah to be tovel for takanis Ezra, and then she became a nida. And the other one, she was already a nida, and then had the chiyuv to be tovel tavilas takanas Ezra. So the Mishnah says tzrichim tavila like takanas Ezra. And Yehuda Polti says no, you don't need tavila in this situation. It won't do you any good. So Gemara says Iboilu they asked Baal Keri Shirah Ziva. We gave the case where the guy was a zav and then he became a Baal Keri. What was it the other way around? You're a Baal Keri, and then you became a Zav. So you had the Chiyav of Takanas Ezra already, and then you became a Zav, and now going to the Mikvah will do nothing for you. You need the Zayin Akiyav. So, L'Rav Yehuda Mao, according to Rav Yehuda, according to Tarkama, you have to, it doesn't do anything. You have over here the obligation, Tzrichim Tvila. Doesn't do anything that you had a need or a Zav, which one ever came first, you have to go anyway. But, according to Rav Yehuda, who says, no, that a your Potter, so did he say your Potter in both scenarios, or only in the scenario where already a Zav? So keep on the Rav Yehuda, he says there's no takanas Ezra because it doesn't do anything. Hasim b'zav shuah keri. That's when the zav sees the keri. The meyei kara la batrilu. A zav can't go to the mikvah. He has to count zayin akiyim. So therefore, don't have him go to the mikvah. But Abba Baal Keri, when he's obligated to go to the mikvah, and then he became a zav, shuah ziva afterwards, so the meyei kara batrilu. He had an obligation to go. So maybe Mechayev, Rav Yehuda would say he still has to go, even though it won't do anything for a ziva. Oh, Dilma, do we say no? Lo shnot. Makes no difference. So the answer is it makes no difference, and we'll prove it from our Mishnah. Toshma, we gave both examples over here. Hamisha Meshes, Viroas Onida, Tzricha Tvila. Even though she was Mishameshes first and was Poleta Shikma Zera and only then became a Nida, Rav Yehuda was poter. Rav Yehuda poter. Ah, v'homishamesh is rosa kibal keri shirozi. That's exactly analogous, damya. That's exactly analogous to the case where you first became a balkeri and then a zav. You first were a tovel, a poleti shirazera, and then you became a nida. Those two are analogous. And yet, the kopater of Yehuda, clearly Rav Yehuda was poter, so shmamina, that Rav Yehuda would be poter in that scenario as well. So it doesn't make a difference which one came first. Rav Yehuda is always poter. Says it doesn't do any purpose for you because it's not going to be metayu from the deeper tumah. So then don't waste your time with Takanas Ezra. He said, Beferish, what we just implied, says Beferish, Balkari, who was first the Balkari, and then Shiro Aziva, Tzara Tfil, according to the Chachamim, Tanakama, Ryuda Pote, and Ryuda says, no, you don't have to. Hadron Alecha Mishamesu, Hadron Alecha Mishamesu, Hadron Alecha Mishamesu. Okay, next parak. We go to Perek Tfilas HaShachar. This is a very, very important, all the parakim are important. This is a very important parak in terms of dealing with a lot of the halachos of davening. Here it teaches us Zmanim. Here we get into the whole time, when's the optimal time to daven all the Tfilas. So we start off with Tfilas HaShachar. Many suggest because Avram was Misaki and Shachris, why don't we start off Tfilas Marv, right? We had the whole discussion at the beginning. So many reasons are given why we start off with Shachris over here. The simplest one is because the Tfilah of Shachris was by Avram Avinu. He was Misaki and Shachris. Yitzchak was Misaki and Mincha, and Yaakov was Misaki and Marv. So we go by the order of the Avos. So therefore, we start off telling us the dinim of Tfilas Shachris. Fine. There are many, many other Terutzim as well. They're all beautiful Terutzim. Tfilas HaShachar HaChatzos. So it tells us over here that Shachris, you're allowed to daven until Chatzos. Don't leave now. That's not how we paskin. That is not the lichatchila way. That's a bid the eved. I can't have enough bid the eved's way to daven, 10 minutes before Chatzos. That's the opinion over here of the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda says, Adalit Shos. That's how we paskin Aloch Lamaisa. Zman Tfilah is until, though, we'll have a question. Does it mean up to the fourth hour? The start of the fourth hour means till the end of the fourth hour. So we paskin means till the end of the fourth hour. So in our idealized day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., which almost never occurs, even at the solstices, it's usually not 6 to 6, but in the idealized 12-hour day, which we'll use all the time when we discuss this, so this would mean till 10 o'clock, okay? 6 to 7 is 1, 7 to 8 is 2, 8 to 9 is 3, 9 to 10 is 4. So you can daven until 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is the start of the fifth hour. It's the end of the fourth hour. So that's what it means, 4 hours. That's how we paskin halacha l'maisa. That's Zman Tfilah. Zman Kriya Shema is an hour before that. 3 hours only. So it's hard to do Shema in the right way with the brachas of Kriya Shema and wait 4 hours. Okay? But again, if you didn't, for whatever the reason, you said Kriya Shema by yourself in the morning, and now you're davening with a minion, it's davening later, it could be very often that could happen, so you're still finishing within the time of Zman Tfilah, and that's acceptable. That's Shachris. Tfilas HaMincha is Ara Erev. Mincha, you're allowed to daven until Erev. Erev usually means over here, nightfall of some sort. What does that mean? So, Mishnah Berurah paskins, it means Toshkia. There are other opinions that paskin, like the Rabbeinu Tam Shit over here, that it could be much later. It could be even much later, like almost an hour, 58 minutes or so, 57 and a half minutes or so, after, even up to 72 minus 13 and a half minutes, that amount of time, 58 and a half minutes, so that's still called day, going to the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. So theoretically, you could still daven mincha, even at that point, that's why some people daven mincha after the Shkia. Again, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that it means till the Shkia, you can daven mincha until the Shkia. He's very strict, says you can't daven after the Shkia. Others give a little bit of time, others give a lot of time. Again, the correct way, according to everybody, is to daven before the Shkia. Nobody says you should dafka wait till the end, but there are opinions that say you can't wait. So that's Ada Erev. Rav Yehuda Omer ad plaga mincha. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says until plaga mincha. We'll see that this means the plaga mincha is the time that we call mincha kitana, split in half. We'll see that the day is divided up in my six exact day at 12:30 in the afternoon. That's the earliest time to daven mincha. Technically, daven mincha after chatzos. But we don't know what chatzos was. They didn't have digital clocks. They didn't have exact times. So they always wait a half an hour. You start seeing the sun on the other side. You can be guaranteed that it's past chatzos. So mincha gedola starts 6.5 hours into the day. Mincha ketana starts 2.5 hours before the shkia. And plaga mincha is half of that. So it's 1 hour and 15 minutes before the shkia. So ultimately, Rav Yehuda's sheet is that until 1 hour and 15 minutes, these are halachic hours, what we call shol zmanios, so in a day that's longer than 12 hours, they're going to be longer every hour. Day that's shorter than 12 hours, like now, they're going to be less than an hour for a shol zmanios. In any event, it's 1 hour and 15 minutes, shol zmanios, before the sun sets. That's plag hamincha, the simple understanding of plag hamincha, and that's when Rav Yehuda says, you can daven mincha only until then. And Ma'ariv, Tfilas HaErev, Why is it called Erev? So many bring down a very nice idea that Erev comes from his taroves. It's a mixture. At night, you can't see things clearly. So that's where the word Arvis, Erev, comes from. Because you can't see clearly, so it's a mixture. Everything's a blur. So therefore, that's why it's called Tefillas Erev. In any event, Ein Lo Keva, which tomorrow means you can say it till the morning. It doesn't have a specified time. V'shel Musafim, why the Tefillas of Musaf, when can you daven that? Kol Hayom. That can be davened all day. And Rav Yehuda Omer, Ad Zayin Shalosh, the question whether this belongs in the Mishnah or not, it certainly is a valid Shita. That's what Rav Yehuda says. The question whether it just belongs here in the Mishnah, he says, until 7 hours in a day, which will mean Ad V'ad Bichlal, it means until 1 o'clock in the day, the end of the seventh hour, not the start of the seventh hour, which would be noon. That's where we'll prove this. By the way, an interesting aside, why Bedavka do we say over here, Musaf in plural? We don't say Shacharisin, Minchiz, Minchos, Arvios, right? But Musaf, we say in the plural. So the Mefarshim bring down, we're going to learn in the Gemara, that the Beis Yosef is bringing down the name of the Sefer called the Hon Ashir. So he says that Musaf was never brought as a single carbon. The minimal amounts for any carbon Musaf was only two Musafim. So since this is connected, the carbon Musaf, so therefore it's called Musafim. Even though we say in the vernacular Musaf, but the Mishnah uses the terminology Musafim because there was always two carbon Musafs that were brought, as opposed to Shachris was one carbon Tamid, Mincha was one carbon Tamid. So therefore that's why those are singular and this is called plural. Gemara starts off and says, "Ruminu, we ask the stira from the following brisa: Mitzvoso imanei tzachama." We learned previously that the mitzvah of kriyashma is until neitzachama. Kadesh yisvo gula l'tvila. Ideally, you should be some at gula l'tvila. So, shma is right before neitzachama, and the time for shachris shmona esrei is just right after neitzachama. How can you tell me you have 4 hours or even in tuchatzos? So you should be davening during the day. So it's not 4 hours or 6 hours. It's 1 minute after the sun rises. That's when you should daven. So Gemara says, that's ideal. That's the ideal way to daven, but not the only way to daven. The rest of the world says, you can daven, not the rest of the world, the opinions that we brought down over here say that if you didn't daven Vasikin, you haven't lost it. It's still Lechat Chil, you can daven later on. Not every person can get up of Vasikin. So you're not getting up of Vasikin, right? So we're learning during the time. If we wanted to, we all could have daven Vasikin today. Because the Shia is right in the middle of the time for Vasikin. But learning beforehand is also a great Maila. And I would argue it's better to learn beforehand and then daven in a perfectly optimal time. We're going to make the Magen Avraham Zman for Kriyat Shema and everything. So it's a lichat chila, 100% acceptable time, albeit it would be better to learn the daf an hour before the Vasikin and then daven Vasikin. That would be ideal, but that's not the way it's set up. So therefore, that's certainly a lichat chila, 100% acceptable. Yeah. That's a whole separate question. We'll have to get that. So the earlier minion, the 6 o'clock minion today, they put on Talis and Tefillin after Ishtabach because it was too early to daven. So it's not too early to daven. I said that wrong. It's too early to put on talis and tefillin at the start of the davening, but they put on tefillin after yishtabach, so there wasn't an interruption in the baruch shamay. They could then put on the tefillin with the bracha, and then it's not ideal, but you're allowed to daven before vasikin also. So there you need an excuse to do that. If you're going to work, that's acceptable. You know, if you don't have a good excuse, you shouldn't do that. But most people, the early minyan, are going to work, you know. So therefore, that's a valid excuse. Going to work is a mitzvah too. So therefore, that's why they're allowed to daven earlier than Vasikin. But not optimal. Vasikin is optimal. Okay. The Gemara says, V'kuli amah chatzos is low. What? The maximal opinion over here is only till chatzos? You're allowed to go and only daven until chatzos, according to the lenient opinion? What about the rest of the day? I'll show you you can daven even later in the day, Shachris. How is that? A whole list of people. You always say the whole list over here, maybe gula liolam. You say, omer dover b'shem omro, maybe gula liolam. So that's why we always have in the Gemara, you know, lists sometimes of who said in the name of he said, in order to bring the gula to the world. In any event, it says ta. Mefarshim Pirkei Avot, it specifically says ta. You can't do this with mezid. If a person says, I ain't davening, so then he doesn't have a right to do a tefillas tashlumim, a makeup tefillah. But if you made a mistake could be you're drunk even. A mistake could be that you were lazy, you slept in bed, you couldn't get up out of bed. Not ideal. We're not recommending that you do this, but ta includes a whole bunch of sins, except b'mezid. I'm not davening, because I'm going to daven twice later on. So then that's amazing. That doesn't apply to tefillas tashlumim. But if you miss shachris for a non-mezid reason, even though it's your fault, you're lazy, you're drunk, whatever, so then you're allowed to do it tefillas tashlumim. Ta, the lowest spell arvis. If a person didn't daven marv, he forgot, he got home late, he was so tired, he fell asleep, he wakes up, and it's now shachris, his alarm clock goes off. So mispalel b'shachar shtayim, you'll have to daven shtayim, a tefillas tashlumin. The first one is always the chiyuv tefillah, and the second one is always the tashlumin. Shachris, if you miss shachris, it's not mincha shtayim. You're allowed to daven mincha shtayim. Oh, you see, you're allowed to daven shachris even in the time of mincha. You're making up shachris by mincha time. So it's a weak question, because you could say, well, it's not shachris. It's now called mincha. It's called the tefillas tashlumim. But the Gemara seems to suggest right now that it's still called that you're davening shachris in the afternoon, because you're making up for your shachris. Someone says, no, kuli yom matzli. You're right. You're allowed to daven, but it ain't called shachris. So kuli yom matzli yozel. You can daven the two minchas if you miss shachris. Ad katzos, however, yor leischar tefila bismana. But it called davening shachris in the right time only until katzos, or according to 4 hours, according to Yehuda. No, you get credit for making a tefillas tashlumim, but you don't get credit for davening really shachris. You have a makeup for shachris, but you're not really davening shachris after chatzos or after 4 hours into the day. They asked the following shaila: Ibaylu tovul uspalu mincha, maushi uspalu arvis. We had over here Mariv. You can daven two shachris. Shachris, you daven two minchas. That's all the same day, right? Mariv and shachris are the same day. But if I miss mincha, so I daven two marivs, well, that's two different days. Is that allowed? Can you do a tefillas tashlumim for mincha?
Also, marav is not obligatory.
So they all ask, so how are you allowed to daven? Yeah. So we've accepted upon ourselves to be obligatory. That's the simple teretz, and therefore you're allowed to do a tashlumim for marav, because we have accepted upon ourselves obligatory. We'll have that discussion in the next day. So he's asking tashlumim for marav. The Gemara is asking tashlumim for mincha. So to answer Mendy's question, so Mariv, you're allowed to, because it's not really a rishus. It's a misnomer to call Mariv a rishus. One opinion says it's a rishus compared to other mitzvahs. You have a choice of davening Mariv or doing another mitzvah, do the other mitzvah. But it's a chiyuv to daven Mariv. That's one way to understand it. The other way is that originally it may have been a rishus, but now it's a chova. Nobody can go to me tonight and say, listen, you know, Rabbi, I don't feel like davening Mariv tonight. It's a rishus, so I won't daven Mariv tonight. I choose not to. No, absolutely not. That's why women, it is still a rishus. Women have the custom to daven, like it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, they only have a chiyuv to daven shachris and mincha. They do not have a chiyuv to daven marav. But men absolutely have a chiyuv today to daven marav. You gotta go bite them. So the Gemara says, the mincha question. Mincha is a separate day if you miss mincha and you want to daven two marav. So is that allowed? So that's what he asks. Maushi is follow two arvises, arvis beis. Intim siloma tov lo is follow arvis, is follow shachris. Beis mishum the chad yomu, because it's the same day. If the tefillas are instead of the korbanos. So if you didn't bring the korban mincha today, you can't bring two korban minchas tomorrow. By the way, why is it called the korban mincha? It's nothing to do over here with the flower offering. It's the Tomei Shebein Arbaim. So it's brought down a beautiful reason. There are many, many, many reasons for this. But in the Targum, the korban mincha is called Manach Yoma. So it's when the day is... it's clearing. So that's why the afternoon is called korban mincha. That's one reason. Others say that the tefillah by Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel was a total offering to Hashem, so we call it mincha. Many, many reasons why tefillah's mincha is called mincha, because it has nothing to do with the flower offering, which is a mincha. Okay, in any event, so it says over here, tefillah makom karbani. So the kiva and the avar yomo batel karbano. Do we say it's too late? You can't bring the karban mincha anymore at night. It's the next day. Or do we say oduma? No, kiva the tzelusa rachmihi. It's a tefillah over here, and kolayim is the boy matzah the other. Or whatever you make it up, you make it up. So do we view it as a tefillah or do we view it as a carbon? That's the understanding of why we daven will be a machlokas on the Yomi Beis if we ever get to it. But right now we're asking over here, is this allowed or not to do a tashlumin for mincha? And one says, yes, that it is. Tashma, the Amar of Huna, Yehuda, Amar of Yitzchak, Amar of Yochanan. Ta, if you made a mistake, below is Baal Mincha, is Baal Arvis Beis. You do can make a makeup for Mincha as well. We don't say that rationale that it's too late to bring the carbon. No, it's Rachmi, and therefore, even if you missed Mincha, you can say two Marvs. Always make the Vadai Tefillah, the obligated Tefillah goes first, and the Tashlumim always goes second. Mason, here's the following question. It says, Mu'uvis lo yuchal lisko, mechisaron lo yuchal imanos. The famous pasuk from Koheles, you can't make up certain things. And what does this price say? You can't make up a tefillas tashlumim. Mu'uvis lo yuchal lisko, zesha bito kriyashu shosha arvis. If you missed marv, you can't say two shmas in the next morning. Kriyashu shach is shma in the morning, you can't make two shmas at night. O tefillas shal arvis, o tefillas shal shachris, you can't make them up. So this says you can't make it up. So Gemara says, and finally, just finish up the end of the pasuk Koheles. Everybody says, let's go to Tomchei Shabbos tonight, and we'll all do packages, and we'll all do a mitzvah. He says, nah, sorry, I can't make it. So he's not included in the group that's doing the mitzvah. You can't make that up. It's too late. So Kasha, or Kasha, it says you can't do two marvs, you can't do two shachris, you can't do tefillas tashlumim. Here you just said you can. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. No, you know what he's talking about? Hachmai Eskin and Shabbat Tal B'Mezin, as I said. And you said, listen, I got work to do today. I ain't taking off time to daven mincha. I'm going to daven two marvs. That, you can't daven two marvs. But if the guy is busy at work, and he should have set his alarm, and he didn't, and all of a sudden he sees it's 5:30, and he missed the short mincha days, so then he's allowed to daven two marvs. It's his own fault, he was negligent, but negligence isn't the same as b'mezid. And negligence is allowed, a tefillas tashlumim, mezid is not. That's the answer over here. This price is talking about b'mezid. I'm Ravashi, Daikinami, I'll show you, losing the lush of the tani batel. You were mevatel it. That's when you're not allowed to block tani tani. It didn't say over here a mistake. Before it said a mistake. Here it said you were mevatel it. Shmami no. That's the correct answer. Finally, we get to the Yomid Beis. We're way behind, but we get to Hashem, we'll catch up. But the dafim is so beautiful. I wish we could do 3-4 hours every day to daf. Tani Rabbani. Tavlo espal mincho be'erev Shabbos. Here we have a very interesting scenario. You didn't daf mincho be'erev Shabbos. The Mariv Shmon Esrei is a totally different Shmon Esrei. Mispal b'leil Shabbos, shtayim. Then you daven over there on Friday night, shtayim shel Shabbos. That's the gears of the groyed, shtayim shel Shabbos. So you daven two Mariv Shmon Esreis. Tavlo espal mincho be'Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, you forget mincha. For whatever reason, you slept and you didn't say the mincha Shabbos afternoon Shmon Esrei. Mispal b'Motzei Shabbos, shtayim shel Chol. You daven two Mariv Shmon Esreis of the weekday Shmon Esrei. So even though you're not saying the same Shmon Esrei, either by Mincha Erev Shabbos to Mariv Shabbos, or Mincha Shabbos to Mariv Motzei Shabbos, you still say two Shmon Esreis. By Mariv, you have Avdalah, Atichon Antonu. Mavdil B'Rishona. The first one is the Vaday one, so that's the obligated one, so you say Atichon Antonu in the first one. They ain't no Mavdil B'Shniyah. You don't say Atichon Antonu in the Tashlumim Shmon Esrei. Why not? Because Atichon Antonu is not a tefillah. It's a statement. Havdalah. So you already did Havdalah, so there's no reason that you say it in the second one. And in fact, if you only said Atachon Antonu in the second one, then guess what? You got to make a third one, because the first one is worthless, because you didn't say Atachon Antonu. Shniya, also the second one counts as your first one, because you said Atachon Antonu. That's your Vaday obligation. And the now third one is going to be your Tashlumim, because Rishona lo also lo. The first one didn't count for you. But that implies, Lememra, the Kivin Dolav, the Bukamaisa, Kimanda Lot Soli Domi. But that implies that if you don't say Atachon Antonu, then you're not Yosei Shmon Esrei, the Madrinale. And you have to go back and repeat the Shmon Esrei. But that's not the Halacha or Minu. They say, Tavlo Iski Gurus Kisham Mitzchias Emesim. If you forgot to say, the Gurus Hashem Mitzchias Emesim, or Vishela Vivichas Hashanim, Mazirin or so. So if you forgot to say, Mashav Ruach Moragoshim, if you forgot to say over here, saying Talamot Telebracha, you got to go back. But Havdalah b'chon edas ain't nachsir, so you don't have to go back for Atachon Antonu. Bivnei shiochel amr on the coast, because you can say Havdalah on the coast. So this is a good kasha. So kasha, how come you not yotzei with the first one esrei, even though you didn't say Atachon Antonu? So the Mefarshim bring down a very good answer, because you've demonstrated, this was basically understanding of Tosis, when you didn't say Atachon Antonu, you're saying, this is my tashlumim shmon esrei. Because you remembered to say it in the second one. It's not that you forgot to say it in the first one. You consciously didn't say it in the first one. So you basically said, I'm going to do my Tashlumim Shmon Esrei first. That's not allowed. And therefore, that's not a good Tashlumim Shmon Esrei. And now your second Shmon Esrei, that's your obligatory Shmon Esrei that you're Yotzi with. And now you got to say a third Shmon Esrei to the Tfilas Tashlumim, because your first Shmon Esrei Tfilas Tashlumim didn't count, because the Tashlumim can never come before the obligatory one. That's the answer to this Kasha. It says Kasha, it doesn't say Tiyufta. Kasha always means it's a Teretz. Itmar, Rav Yosef Yechanin Omar, Tfilas Avos Tiklum. Now here we go, introduce the famous Machlokes over here. Why do we daven? Again, famous Machlokes, Rambam and Ramban, is a davening Daraisa, only in Tzara, or even not in times of Tzara. Leaving that aside, Chazal definitely set up that we daven, or Shachos Minchim Arv, the way we do. Who do they set that up Keneged? So there's two possibilities over here. We have the two sheetahs over here. One is Keneged Avos Tiknum, and one is Keneged Karbanos Tiknum. So then we'll introduce these two ideas today, and then we'll probably stop. So Amar, Rav Yosef Itmar, Rav Yosef Yechanin Amar, Tfilos Avos Tiknum. The Avos were the ones that set up the Tfilos. Avram Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, Yaakov Mariv. Now, the Mefarshim bring down, they all davened all of them. But each of them was known. Avram especially was known for Shachris, Yitzchak was especially known for Mincha, and Yaakov was especially known for Mariv. That's one way to understand it, because it says they did all the mitzvahs, even the Rabbanans. So how did that, you tell me Avram didn't daven Mincha? You tell me Avram didn't daven Mariv? So the answer is he did, but he was known for Shachris. Yitzchak was known for Mincha. That's one beautiful teretz. Why are we called davening davening. What's the Yiddish word davening? It has no root. You know what the root is? They bring down over here. The Beis Yosef brings down for the Magid Taluma over here. He says the word davening means de avunon. It means it came from the avos. That's where the word davening comes from the avos. What a beautiful, if you learn nothing for today except this, you know what the word davening means? It's a beautiful, beautiful pshat. So that's what davening means, from the avos, de avunon. That's what the Beis Yosef brings down for the Magid Taluma. So he says, that's the opinion of avos tiknum. Rav Yishuv ben Levi Omer, tfilos kineged tamidim tiknum. The tfilos are kineged the karbonos, the karbon tamid shel shachris, the karbon tamid shel ben arbaim, and then the hekter, evarim v'chalavim, which could be done at night, that's marv. And we have a Tanya Kavasi of Yosef Chanina, a Tanya Kavasi of Shimon Levi. We'll have brises in support of each of these shitos, but you got to come back tomorrow to hear what those brises are. Yitzhak Hashem will pick up over here tomorrow.